Welcome to the Fuller Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording at 1:28 Pacific Summer Time, and today is April 27th. Well, starting off in Asia this morning, China continues to extend the breakout. Well, there are a number of reasons for this, but I guess primary among those is that the government is, well, everyone is anticipating that the government is going to ease up on monetary policy. They've been edging towards that for a while, that they've been lowering the reserve requirements at the banks. They opened up the Stock Connect between Shanghai and Hong Kong late last year. They initiated an equity options market in February. And these are just one thing on top of another that is hitting what had previously been one of the most moribund markets in the world. So we're continuing to see this explosive breakout persist. Well, when we look at the Hang Seng, it was up about 1.3% in here today, and it was a similar advance for the 8 shares. The last time that you had speculation that you would have the Shanghai-Hong Kong Connect opened up was in 2007, and you had an accelerated end to what had been a 3 to 4 year consistent advance prior to that. Well, the market has really only been breaking out now for 4 weeks, and that's coming after what was close to a 4 year process of consolidation. So this type of breakout, there will always be some form of trepidation because it's so aggressive and so quick. The people that don't have long positions will be wondering whether this is the right time to buy and how to play it in terms of momentum. Investors that have had a position for a while will be looking at it with some trepidation also, because they'll want to hold on to their gains. But it is worth considering that an acceleration out of a lengthy range is exactly what we anticipate, that ranges are explosions waiting to happen. It isn't the same thing like you would see on the Hang Seng back in 2007, where the index had already been rallying in impressive fashion for a number of years and then blew off in this massive acceleration to the upside. So even if one were anticipating that there is going to be some form of consolidation, and that consolidation could be potentially volatile, that one would give the medium term outlook the benefit of the doubt, and a bullish outlook the benefit of the doubt. Elsewhere in Asia, the Indian market is worth taking a look at, because you now have two lower lows. It pushed down to the region of the 200-day moving average today, and the rupee has been a little bit weaker, and that's really, I guess, perhaps more noteworthy because the rupee has been one of the firmest currencies in Asia for the last 18 months. The fact that it has now weakened up to around the 64 area, or the dollar has strengthened up to the 64 area, to be more exact, this is where the rupee really does need to find support. And the ability of the equity market to hold its gain and to move into a more orderly consolidation, they're probably going to go hand in hand. What we continue to see is that this was also an explosive breakout for India a year ago, and that now it's in a process of consolidation. That provided it holds the majority of the breakout, then the medium term upside can be given the benefit of the doubt, but the short term is that it really does need to find support in the current area, and that if it fails to do that, then we're going to have a somewhat deeper reaction. Indonesia also stood out in here today because of there are two main factors. One is that the economic figures have come in lower than expected, and corporate earnings are disappointing. Part of the reason for that is because Indonesia is such a commodity-reliant market. Well, of course, the bullish aspect to it is that it is the fourth most populous country in the world, and that you have an administration there now where governance has by and large been improving. That is, I guess, their aim is to try to boost the role of the consumer in the economy. However, with coal, tin, and oil prices all having declined really quite drastically, that the potential is that the administration, which does not have the kind of majority that Narendra Modi has in India might be trying to improve its strongman credentials by reinstating the execution policy for drug smugglers. Well, if they do that, then that's not going to be particularly positive from the perspective of its relations with Western governments in particular, not least because there is at least one Australian is up to be executed potentially even this week. Well, that represents really quite a large headwind for the stock market, and its ability to find support in this area will see just how likely that is over the next week. But even if it does find support, a process of support building is likely. When we move into Europe, the vast majority of indices were up over 1%. The FTSE was up only about 0.5%, but that really it doesn't give, I guess, due credit to just how much the banks had moved in here today. HSBC in particular was really quite firm, and part of the reason for that was because there's speculation that it's going to spin off its retail division. So it was up 19p and the share closed around £6.50. It continues to rally from having posted a failed break below the 600 level in March, and now this move today breaks the progression of lower rally highs. So that's really quite positive. When one looks at the FTSE index, that it has broken out of a 15-year range. And when one looks at the constituents of it, well, then it's not particularly reflective of the UK economy. You have the banking sector, which is finally starting to turn the corner. And you have the resources sector, which has been selling off and is looking like it's starting to find support. You have BHP and Rio Tinto, which have these attractive yields and have been largely range-bound. And then Anglo American, for example, has fallen from about 3,500p to 1,000p over the last 4 years, but does look like it's beginning to find support. The fact is that a number of these commodities have pulled back so incredibly sharply that they are now at positions where one would expect that they would begin to at least steady in the short term. That's certainly been the case with iron ore. The copper market has also steadied up. Aluminium and tin are also firming, and so is zinc. Coal is a benighted sector globally, but the fact is that it has become increasingly cheap, and it remains one of the most prolific sources of energy globally, even still. Well, coal isn't the one that anyone is running out there to buy, and there's still the prospect of really quite severe rationalization in that sector. But what we are seeing is that on a judicious basis, that there is potential within the commodity sector to at least steady and possibly begin to rally from these levels, at least in line with the wider market. This was also an impressive day for gold. Gold prices were stronger by about $23 and are back above $1,200. And against that background, platinum had an upside key day reversal. It was up $26 and it's still trading below the price of gold. And, well, market observers will be familiar with the fact that platinum doesn't often trade below the price of gold. And the last time was about 3 years ago, and prior to that was about 20 years ago. So there is the potential for some catch-up in the precious metal markets if gold can continue to firm from this region. And, well, it's at the lower side of the range, and there is the potential that it could rally back up towards the upper side of the range from here. What we've also seen is that a number of the gold mining shares, and not least those that pay a yield, have turned to positions of outperformance. And Zijin Mining in Hong Kong is a pretty good example in that it's one of the biggest producers of gold. It has one of the most attractive yields. It was about 4%, I guess, about 2 months ago. It's probably contracted now because the price has gone up. But that affirming gold price and the potential that it could improve from this level should be generally positive for the mining sector. Well, silver was also up. It was up 70 cents. And that's the first upward dynamic that one could really hang their hat on in really quite some time. The fact that it has been ranging above the $15 level since early November of last year, and that it's firming from that level again suggests that there is at least some support building going on in this area, and that even if one were bearish, that the short term looks like it, we're going to see a rally back up towards around 1750 at a minimum. So at least another dollar on the price, at least in the absence of a downward dynamic. And oil prices were a little bit weaker in here today. The oil price has been, I guess, been moving into a base building type environment, but that the prospects of a V bottom, where we get just a very swift run back up, were dashed because the price has really been going sideways for the last 3 months. And there are a number of aspects that really mean that the price, or that the prospect of prices getting back up into the triple digits, are increasingly unlikely. What we've seen is that unconventional oil and gas have moved from being what many would have considered a fringe of the energy sector right into the center, and now represent a major source of marginal supply, and that in the vast majority of calculations, that the improving efficiency of solar cells aren't even considered, and that they too represent a game changer, which I suspect isn't in the price at all. So the potential for volatile ranging in the energy sector for the foreseeable future is, I would say, the base case. As we approach the S&P 500 today went to a new high, but it closed off the high and down marginally on the day. At least part of the reason for that is because of Apple's results. They haven't announced them just yet, and the market is holding its breath, I suspect, in anticipation of those results. What we can continue to look at in terms of Wall Street is that there's been a bit of a loss of momentum, that the support that a number of other markets have had from currency weakness has not been evident to nearly the same extent on Wall Street, and quite the opposite for much of the first quarter. And people need something to begin to think that they can get back in, and that the US is going to outperform. And in the short term, there isn't a great deal of evidence for that over the sort of the broad indices. But what we are seeing is some sort of rotation, that Biogen extended its pullback in here today and remains in this sort of mean reverting pullback, whereas a number of the, particularly in the NASDAQ, where you had companies like Microsoft and Apple and Amazon and Google all rallying very impressively on Friday, it suggests that some of the more established names are going to move to positions of outperformance. And in the currency markets in here today, the dollar was a little bit weaker, but not in any major fashion, and perhaps weakest against the Canadian dollar, which was stronger by about 82 cents and continues to unwind its oversold condition relative to the MA. Well, I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.